Happy Sunday morning, Grove Nation. This is your pastor coming to you from my office. We're going to have a little bit of a different type service today because of the weather. I did manage to make it to the church, but it is treacherous out there, and there's no need for people to be out unnecessarily on these roads when we can do things like this and have church services together this way for this week. When I got here, I couldn't even get the west doors open, so a little bit of a struggle there, and I'm glad we're not putting anybody at risk. We want you to stay at home and be safe and warm where you are. These moments like this kind of harken us back to our COVID days, which I'm glad those days are far behind us now. But it's not a big deal. This is not the end of the world. We'll gather up in a week or so, and we'll be back together worshiping. Currently, we're in a series in the book of Joshua, and a series that I've enjoyed, and I hope that you have too. And I do have a message prepared from Joshua chapter 5, but we're not going to get into that today. I want to hold that until next week when we're all together in a corporate worship setting. But we are going to get together, and we'll discuss those things further and in detail when we get together next Sunday. In the meantime, we are going to go to God's Word and have a time together just briefly looking into one of my favorite passages in the book of John. So if you have your Bibles, take them and go to John chapter 6. Right at the end of John chapter 6, we read these words in verse 66 down through verse 71. It says, "And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." You notice the definite articles there in that verse. He's not saying a Christ, a son of a God, but the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's important because there's only one Jesus. Then Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, but one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. I want to stop right there, and I want to just say this. There is a calamity that is plaguing the churches today. It's a calamity that doesn't come from our enemies, but one that comes from within the camp. And that's the calamity of defection among believers. It's an indisputable fact that people are walking away from not only church, but they're walking away from their faith every year. In a slightly dated survey, it revealed that there's about 3,500 people who leave the church, that's denomination-wide, worldwide, every day. And I just recently shared a statistic about a month ago that it was estimated in 2025 that about 25,000, I think it was, or maybe 15,000 churches would close their doors last year alone. Now, I don't know if those numbers bear out, but I think it's pretty evident that churches, by and large, are on the decline. I think one of the problems that we have today, and I know there's a lot of people probably won't agree with this, but I think one of the issues is that we're constantly trying to church people. We're trying to make people good church people. We want to get them into the church, make them church members, and assimilate them to a religious organization. And yet that's not what the Bible ever teaches us to do. If you look into the scriptures, the Bible says that we are to be disciples who are making disciples. And a disciple, the word disciple and discipline come from the same word. And the idea is that you're disciplining your life to be a follower of Christ, adhering to his teachings, obeying his commandments. And if the church would get busy with discipling people and not necessarily trying to church people, make them like us, then people will church themselves. They'll find themselves in church. They'll find themselves following after Christ and following after his word as we disciple them. And so we look at this passage and we see that, you know, this is not a recent phenomenon that people are walking away from the faith and walking away from church. You know, well, what if Jesus himself came to the earth and was pastoring this church or a church? Would we still see a defection among believers? Well, the answer is definitively yes, because in this passage, we see that that's exactly what's happening. Jesus is leading a group of people. The Bible refers to them as disciples. And as soon as Jesus began to preach things that were maybe controversial, things that were hard to understand, things that maybe inflicted a little bit of confrontation, you notice that people began to walk away. It says in the text, it says, from that time, many of the disciples went back and they walked no more with him. So even Jesus himself had people who defected from the faith. And so, and not only could it happen, but it did happen. Many went back and they walked no more with him. And so, you know, I want to start this message, this brief message, by just asking, what would it take? What would it take to cause you to no longer follow after Jesus Christ? What would it take to knock you out of church? And by the way, if you're a follower of Christ, you ought to find yourself in church. You know, the Bible says that husbands are to love their wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And we know that his church makes up his bride. And so if I say that I love Jesus, it would make sense that I would love his bride and that I would find myself with other believers worshiping and studying God's word and serving God. So let's look at our text here. A couple of things I want to mention, two things, not just namely. Number one, think about the reason for the question that Jesus asked in verse 67 when he said, "Will you also go away?" The reason for the question is because there is defection. And notice that there is a season of defection. We go through seasons. You know, you look outside today, you're reminded that we are in a winter season. But we go through seasons of defection. In church life, there's ebb and flow. There's wet seasons. There's dry seasons. There's been times when we've seen good things. And there's been times when we didn't see things change for a long time. We didn't see a lot of victories. But we do have dry seasons, wet seasons, highs and lows in church. Times when people are flocking in and times when people are kind of flooding out the door. Too many times I've seen people who were once deeply involved in church ministry who now no longer involved in church. That's because there are seasons of defection. There are times when there's people who once sat in the pews with us, sang hymns with us, with such passion, such fervor. People who taught classes and people who, you know, did all kinds of service for the Lord, had lessons that they could do and taught classes, led out in children's chapel. Now they're no longer there. They don't hold place as a leadership. All of a sudden, they're gone. Well, what's happened? Well, they've hit a season of defection in their life. That's basically what we see here in the text. Once, at one time, there were multitudes that were following Jesus, watching his actions, hanging on his every word, and seemingly out of nowhere, much like today, they're gone. It happens all the time. Look around you. In the 5 years that I've pastored this church, I can just go back in my mind and think about all the people who were here, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2 years ago that are no longer here. And it's crazy, but that's what happens. There are people who are missing, who have defected, and they've gone back to the world. Now, while I was talking in that brief time, some of you have already thought about somebody from our church that you knew, that you were connected to in church, who are no longer with us. You already thought about them, and they're no longer here. Now, there's not only a season of defection, but there's a reason for defection. I want you to note verse 66, that these are disciples. He says the disciples went back and walked no more with him. I don't know that these are necessarily deeply devoted disciples, but I certainly think that maybe they weren't, to some extent, lighthearted followers. Maybe they were. I think there's a lot of those in church today, people who are just there for the miracles, who are there for the meals, who are there for the motivational speeches that Jesus would give. And But, you know, in all of this, these were disciples. They were followers. They were learners. They were pupils of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have defected from following Jesus and to some degree committed a treason against heaven by going back. You know, and that's the thing is we don't think about this, but I also want to mention this. When we don't check up our hearts and we don't come to a place where we're following Christ faithfully and we fall into sin, it's easy for us to fall away from the faith. But I want you to know this, you never go back alone. There was a time when Peter said that he was going to go back to his former life. The other disciples said, we're going to go with you. And some of that's because that's all that Peter and the disciples knew was that former life after Jesus had died. But the truth is, Jesus called them to something more, to be fishers of men and not to just be fishermen. But when Peter went back, others went with him. And I say that to say this, there will be times in our lives when we're tempted to defect and go back to our old life, which is what happens, by the way. But we never go back alone. That defection leads to other people falling behind as well. And, you know, many of us have been affected by others who have defected, and we don't want to be backsliders. We don't want to fall back. And so we need to make sure that we're focusing on Christ and the things that are eternal so we can keep moving forward serving Christ. Now, we've talked about a season of defection, the treason that's involved in defection, but also there is a reason for defection. Why do people quit? Why do they go back? I suppose there are many reasons why people go away from Christ. Some are led away by evil companions. Some forsake the church through carelessness. They let other things come into their life that maybe take them away from God. And our lives become so inundated with the things that of this world that are so important to us that Christ gets pushed away. And by the way, our allegiance is to Christ Jesus first. And as a result, we do love his church as well. Many people just grow cold through changes of life. But, you know, many people leave because of their love for this world. You know, you think about Demas. Paul said of Demas that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. It could be any number of reasons why people go back. Laziness, pleasure, riches, heresies. But if you just look into the text, all you got to do is go back a few verses and you find out why these people left Jesus. You go back to verse 59 in John chapter 6. It says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore, the disciples, when they had heard this, they said, this is a hard saying and who can hear it? Jesus was teaching them that he was indeed the bread of life that has come down from heaven. In verse 47, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Jesus said in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He went on to say some other things that coincided with that, talking about his flesh and his blood and eternal life. But at the end of this, you see that the response of the people was in verse 60, this is a hard saying, and who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Now, a lot of people have left the church over offenses. They are easily offended. And, you know, we shouldn't purposely be offensive people. I think sometimes we are offensive. But a lot of times what's happening here is people are offended at the word of God. This may be the most popular reason that people leave the church. The pastor, you know, has hurt their feelings with the word of God. There's been some people who've come out and said, well, you know, that really hurt my feelings, or you really stepped on my toes. And the thing is, the word of God is offensive. If you look into the word of God, it's abrasive. Jesus said some very exclusive things. when he said things like, I am the bread of life, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. When Jesus said, I am the door, Jesus said a lot of things that were controversial. And the truth is that when the truth comes to the truth of God's word comes in battle array against my flesh, it creates friction with my flesh. My spiritual man and my fleshly man are at a battle with each other. And so when the word of God comes with conviction and passion and truth, it rubs against my carnal man and creates an offense inside me. So now I have a decision to make. As a believer, when the word of God is convicting my heart, I'm moved into a place where I have to make a decision. It's one of the reasons why we have invitations at the end of our church services. So people can hear the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. People can be moved by the Spirit of God, and then they can make a decision based on the things that they've heard in the word of God. In our text, it was the truth that offended them. The truth can hurt sometimes. Jesus mentioned this in his parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13, that some were offended by the word. And the Bible warns us that this day is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine. Paul told Timothy that there would be a day that would come when people would not endure sound doctrine, but they would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They would be turned away from the truth and be turned unto fables. And so we see that today in our world. There are many false teachers that are rising, and true preachers are shrinking away and becoming fewer and fewer all the time. And I think we've come to a place, honestly, I want you to just sit back and absorb this for just one second. We've come to a place inside church, American, Western American church, where we have made the preacher the one thing the Bible says that he is to never to be, and that is a hireling. And what we've done in churches is we've said, well, what we want you to do is we're going to pay you to come and pastor our church. But the truth is we make the pastor a hireling, and we hold him to a standard of responsibility with no authority, even the authority of God's word. We say, well, no, the authority lies in us or inside the church, and we make the decisions. You just come and preach. But the problem is, when a preacher gets to a place where he's just a hireling and he's relying on God's people to take care of him, a lot of times preachers will shy away from the truth of God's word, because what incentive do they have? The incentive to preach God's word with truth and conviction is taken away, because many of them live in fear that their paycheck will be taken away, that their job security will be taken away, that their family might be tossed into chaos. And so many preachers have resigned themselves from preaching anything that's controversial, anything that's convicting, anything that would conflict with the natural, oftentimes fleshly manner of their church, so that they can maintain their job status and that their church doesn't get offended, so that people won't leave their church. But here's the thing. If people will leave your church because you're preaching the truth of God's word, they were never really in your church. They were never really with you, and they were never really with Christ. Let me share a passage of scripture from 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and you have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And many of these Antichrist spirits, we see those in false prophets and false teachers and false preachers. And the world is replete with those people. Now look at this. He said, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not at all of us. Well, the truth is, if there are people who will leave the faith and leave the church because they're offended by the Spirit of God and the preaching of God's word, then they were never really of us. And preachers are afraid all the time that their congregation is going to leave if they preach the truth. Well, let me ask you this. If you're afraid to preach the word of God, and maybe you have a large crowd, what do you really have anyway? Do you have a church? Or do you have just a social club of people who want motivational speeches and they want their ears tickled with the things of the world. Well, here's a question for you. Where do these people go when the pastor offends, or when their heart is offended, or when their heart has grown lazy or carnal? Where do they go? Well, the answer is they go backwards. And typically, people always go back to their old lives when they leave Christ or the church. I've watched people who used to have their children in church leave, and now their children are out of church. And by the way, how you respond to your pastor, how you respond to your fellow church members and your church is going to affect your children as well. And we see a lot of people who are reaping a harvest with their children, a harvest that they sowed by their actions in church, either when they were there or when they left the church. People leave and they go back to their old lifestyle, and it's folly. Our commitment is to Christ Jesus. How we keep that commitment is, one, knowing who he is, and two, looking unto him as the author and finisher of our faith so that he might strengthen us by his Spirit. Every day you're going to wake up and face new challenges. Today you're going to face a new challenge of being tired of even getting up and watching a Facebook video to hear God's word today. But when we face these challenges, we got to respond to them with, I know who Christ is, that's who I'm following, and I have the fortitude to follow Christ even in difficult times. And so we see here in our text the reason for the question, will you also go away? I want you to notice this very quickly, the response to the question. There's an uncertain response. I mentioned the uncertainty of an answer for a reason. We all want to believe that we would never walk away from our faith, from Christ, or the church. We all want to believe that we're fortified, but there is a natural tendency in all of us to quit. I want you to know that the greatest temptation that you're ever going to face in your Christian life is the temptation to quit and walk away. It's so easy because so often that's what Satan wants us to do. People will say, well, I don't know what church to go to. I don't know what Bible version to read. I don't know what to believe. And so I just give up. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to quit. He wants you to say, well, it's got a little hard, I'll quit. He wants you to say, I got offended, I'll quit. He wants you to say, the Christian life is too difficult for me to do, I'll just quit. I'm confused, I'll quit. He wants you, it's the greatest temptation you're ever going to face is to quit. And I want you to know that we can have our spirits fortified by the Holy Spirit. This is why we got to remain in the Word. This is why we got to remain in prayer. This is why church is important. I don't worship the church. I worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But I love his church. One, because Jesus loved his church. Also, because the church is where I become strengthened and edified. It is the church has been given teachers, apostles, preachers, leaders, all of these things for the edifying of the saints so that we might carry out the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is an uncertainty in our answer, because sometimes we think we're stronger than we are, but we are sheep, and sheep by nature tend to wander off. The question is, will you also go away? Here's the thing about it is, you're not forced to stay. Grace has no slaves. Jesus calls us to follow him. And how do we know that we are doing the right thing? Well, Jesus says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so grace doesn't hold you a slave. You can come to God by faith through grace, and you can be saved. And grace is not going to make you stay. You choose to stay. But I will say this, I love what we see out of Peter. He's quick to respond. Simon Peter was quick on everything. He was quick to cut your ear off. He was quick to, you know, jump out of the boat. He's quick to give an answer here, and I like it. So we see an uncertain response that we get sometimes, that we'd like to believe that we're firm, but here's an unwavering response in verse 68. Look at what Peter said. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, I love that answer. He said, where are we going to go? There's nowhere else to go but you. His answer is one of clarity, and it's one of conviction. He says that I don't even have to hesitate. Where in the world would I go? If I left you, Jesus, where would I go? The answer is nowhere. But it's an answer of conviction. Peter understood that there is no one like Jesus. He understood that there is no other master so kind, so merciful, so true. He understood that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by him. It was Peter who said in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "For neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That name is Jesus. I love the way he did this. I love the way he said it. He left no doubt where he stood. And I think that's what we have to do today. We have to leave no doubts. So I want to ask you today, will you also go away? You know, we've entered into a brand new year, 2026. And so far, there's been so many people flooding into church. There have been people making professions of faith, people who've been following Christ in baptism, showing their allegiance and their alignment with the Lord Jesus Christ and consequently with our church at Garden Grove. And I'm thankful for that. But what would it take? Let's go back to our original question. What would it take to knock you out of your walk with Christ, to knock you out of church, to knock you out of fellowship with other believers? And then I want you to know, when we do, when we turn back, it's a life of misery. You see it with people. People begin to make slow digressions. They hate the songs. They hate the preaching. They hate the word of God. Their hearts become icy and cold. But your heart can be warmed. It can be warmed by the Spirit of God, by his word, through prayer. He can take your heart, no matter how hard it is, and turn it back to him. I pray that that we will focus our attention and our affection on things above in this coming year. I pray that we'll turn our hearts to Christ, following him, loving others, serving God by serving others. I pray today that you would find a brand new fortified walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. If maybe you faltered, maybe you've struggled, come back to him today. In your heart, get on your knees, pray, and say, "God, I know that I have defected. I know that I've strayed away in my heart." And maybe, listen, your body can be in church and your heart be far from him. Come back to him today. Where else can you go? He is the source of eternal life. I pray that you know him, and I pray that you'll come back to him if you've ever strayed. If you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You can pray, ask God to forgive you of your sins, recognizing that you're a sinner, asking him to not only forgive you, but telling him you're placing your faith and your trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can do that right there from your home. Jesus said, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so you can call on him wherever you are. I pray that you'll do that. And I pray that you guys will have a great rest of your day, that you'll be warm and that you'll be safe. And I look forward to meeting with you again next week or later in this week when the weather gets a little better. Until then, you guys be safe and God bless you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your many blessings. Thank you for the beauty of technology that allows us to even gather our hearts together around your throne today and around your word. I pray that you'll bless these words, that there'll be somebody here who'd be encouraged. Maybe there's somebody who was on the edge of defection. Maybe they were just barely hanging in. May the words of the Apostle Peter encourage them to draw back closer to you today. If there's somebody who has tuned in today, who's never trusted you as their Savior, God, I pray that by your word and by your spirit, you would draw them to you. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We look forward to meeting together again and our hearts gathering in person to worship you, the one and only true living God. Until then, keep us safe. Forgive us of our sins. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Grove Nation. Have a great, safe, warm Sunday.